Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another China Business Cast. How are you doing, Shlomo?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, life is good. We're both busy people. busy. And we're yes. at episode 35. How does it feel? It's a kind of a mini milestone, 35. It's getting up there.
Yes, it's already 10 episodes since we started doing it together. I'm very, very excited and love doing this. It's a lot of fun getting to know new people, speaking and you know, getting feedback from our listeners. So it's been great. It's been really great.
All right. Yeah. So then we've both been getting busy with events and conferences, getting on the offline world. How about you, GMIC, right? You mentioned an earlier show.
I mentioned it earlier and man, I'm exhausted. Yesterday was the conference itself in Tel Aviv and App in China had a booth there. And I spoke with people for like 10 hours straight.
It's got to be exhausting. Back
exhausted with a couple of dozens of new business cards and you know, and now need to do follow-ups, but that's the work. And actually I really enjoyed it. It was still a lot of fun, though exhausting. And I also, because I started looking at those conferences, I decided I'm going to write a post about all conferences happening in China in 2016. And I actually came up with the research. I collected all the info. It's going to be published probably today or tomorrow on Startup Noodle. Coming up with information about 10 conferences. I mean, this industry is booming. Everybody are coming to China, checking it out, seeing what's going on. And you can find it in a day or two on Startup Noodle and see. So you got Rise there, and you've got MWC, and of course you've got GMIC and GMGC, and you've got gaming conferences and a bunch of others, and of course Cross Border Summit as well. But it's really crazy with the conferences and what's going on now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, thanks for also mentioning my conference, Cross Border Summit, on your post, and you're always helpful. So it's busy. I'm getting really nervous. It's just a few weeks away in mid-April. So it's down here in the south of China. wish we could have you, Shlomo. Would have been great to have you, but I always appreciate your help getting the word out.
And can't make it this time.
Sure. We'll get you next time. And so we were talking about it before the show, and I've been a SOP maniac. So, you know, I guess people might not know what a SOP is, but it's a standard operating procedure. And I know it sounds like a horrible, boring thing, but actually it makes life much better because I can kind of write down exactly what each step is involved in the process. And then the other person can read it. And I try to make it so basic, like click this button, drag this button to that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When I have a question for you, it's like, go read this SOP. And then, you know, it's a step by step. Yeah. Like,
exactly. So,
and it works.
Yep. So
you got screenshots, you got your annotating this. It's crazy, but that's really, this really works.
It does. And actually the team likes it because it's just, they also aren't so nervous that they're not doing anything right. And, you know, like they just feel much more secure that they're doing everything right. And, but yeah, so it's, we've also been using this on the podcast too. It helps us to make workflow more smooth, especially when we're not in the same studio together. So it's great.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we're going to give a coupon code for anybody that's listening that wants to be down in Shenzhen or can come across from Hong Kong to the Cross Border Summit April 16th. You can get a nice little discount there at chinabusinesscast.com/CBS. So CBS stands for Cross Border Summit. So I hope to see some of you there. It'd be really cool.
That would be great. That would be great having people there.
Yep. So how is this show, Shlomo? Are you excited?
Yeah, we got a really interesting guest. Go ahead with the intro.
Sure. So we have Allison Friedman. And she's talking about her performing arts history here and different experiences. She's got a lot of citations all around the world from New York Times, LA Times, China Daily. So it's a really cool one about nonprofit in the performing arts here in China and also bridging East and West. So let's dig in. What do you think, Shlomo?
Yeah, that was really interesting interview, having a production company in performing arts, which we said is something we know nothing about. So we've learned a lot.
Yep.
Let's tune in. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of China Business Cast. We are now on episode 35, and obviously we've got Mike here. Hey, Mike.
What's up?
Everything is good. And we also have Allison Friedman. Hey, Allison.
Hi, guys.
Allison runs Ping Pong Production. It's a nonprofit of performing arts sector. And she's been featured, I'm looking at the list here, like everywhere. It's New York Times, it's International Arts Manager, Bon TV, Sinica Podcast, which we like as well, China Daily, and the list goes on. Allison, very impressive. How are you doing?
Oh, shucks. Well, thank you. This is the most prestigious thing I've been on your podcast.
So. Oh, yeah. I must tell you something. So both Mike and I are very, I think we're very intimidated today because we're lending ourselves to a topic we have no clue about. Performing arts is something at least I know nothing about. But the reason we wanted to obviously speak with you is because you're running a very successful business in China as a production company. So that aspect is very interesting. But if we'll ask stupid questions about performing arts, forgive us.
You're too, as they would say in Chinese, Tai Qian Xula, you're being too modest. I'm sure that you guys interview many business leaders who run companies in areas that you're not necessarily familiar with. So I think the thing we all share in common is the things we face as business owners and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we're always open-minded and learning. So, we love learning. Shlomo and I are excited to get some new perspectives and new ideas, just like our listeners. So thanks for your time, Allison.
My pleasure.
So Allison, tell us what Ping Pong Productions actually is and what do you do?
So Ping Pong Productions is a company I started both in the US and China in 2010. Our mission is to bring China and the world together through the performing arts. What that means is we tour Chinese dance and theater companies all over the world, and we tour international dance and theater companies all over China. We use the performing arts as a bridge to bring countries and cultures together for shared exchange and to increase mutual understanding.
Okay, interesting side note here about market size. I mean,
yeah,
there are probably much more now Chinese going out than the other way.
I don't know what the exact numbers are. On the one hand, the Chinese government does have a zǒushùqù policy, a going out policy, which is encouraging Chinese performing arts groups to tour abroad. However, China also has quite a burgeoning infrastructure for venues, you know, theaters, festivals, and more companies are coming in. I hear a lot of discussions and sort of bemoaning among Chinese performing arts groups and among the government saying, oh, we wish more could go out. They actually feel that it's a little bit limited, that there are some pretty serious market barriers for Chinese arts groups going out. One, earlier in sort of China's development, it was language. I mean, frankly, a lot of arts infrastructure groups in China didn't speak English, so they didn't know where to start looking or how to start looking to access festivals abroad and touring mechanisms. Now, that's been changing, of course, in recent years, so that's no longer as big a barrier as it used to be. Now, the biggest barrier seems to be bridge organizations like us, you know, that can help connect the right art with the right people. A lot of times, I guess it's similar to other businesses, you need to access not every market, but the right market. And so if you're a big Chinese song and dance group and, you know, with 100 people in your troupe, it's not appropriate for you to go to some small fringe European festival. You need to find Las Vegas or the big venues. And likewise, if you are an avant-garde theater festival in a European city, you don't want a big kung fu acrobatics show. You want to see something that's more avant-garde and experimental from China. But how do you find those groups? So what we find now is there is a real need for these kinds of bridge-building organizations like Ping Pong that know the really great on-the-ground artists in China and know the international market so that we can really be matchmakers to get the right art to the right places.
Great.
Got it.
Got it. Thanks for that, Clear. So we were doing a little bit of research while we were before the show, and are you registered as a nonprofit?
So we are registered in the U.S. as a 501c3 nonprofit entity, but in China, there really isn't a nonprofit category for arts and culture. There sort of legally is on the books, but as we often know, what's legally possible and what's possible in reality, sometimes there's a chasm. Mm-hmm. So we're registered in China as what's called a WFOE. Now, I'm sure a lot of your audiences are familiar with the term WFOE, stands mm-hmm. for Wholly Foreign Owned Enterprise. So it's a Chinese entity, but it's owned by a foreigner, that foreigner being myself. And it's sort of like a category, in Chinese it's called a Youxiangongsi, which means basically a limited liability company, or an LLC would be what it would be called in the US, which is a for-profit category. But we operate as if we're a nonprofit. We do not have shareholders. We do not disperse our profits as dividends to shareholders. Rather, instead, our profits all go back into the company to do more projects and to expand the mission of what we do, and to be able to do more and grow more with the projects. So we're registered as a nonprofit in the US, as a for-profit in China, but we operate overall as a nonprofit entity.
Got it. Yeah, I've also heard that it's really difficult to be a nonprofit in China. I guess they just don't believe in it, or I don't know if you have the answer, but...
Well, no, I think it's early days. I mean, it's interesting, you know, as the whole economy goes from planned to market economy, you know, when you're a planned economy, nonprofit is sort of the difference of for-profit. If you don't have for-profit, why could you have nonprofit? So now that China's, you know, a much more market-driven economy, there's more of a need for nonprofit, but it's still early days to figure out the tax incentives and, you know, under which department you register. So in China, there are nonprofits, and they register under the Minzhengbu, the Ministry of Civil Affairs. But those are more for categories like charities for environmental protection or for poverty alleviation or disease research. So they do have nonprofit categories, but it's still very early days and trying to kind of fit the whole system together and what it means. So arts and culture, as with every country, not just China, they're usually the last priority on the government's list to get organized.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, we're really impressed already with you're very well spoken and very good on our show, you know, just the first few questions. So, you know, a little bit more about you, you're doing keynotes speaking quite often. And is it also becoming part of your work? Is that like a career path or?
You know, oh God, it would be really fun to have that be a career path. I got to say, it might be the performer that's left in me. I used to do dance and theater growing up and loved being on stage in front of an audience. And I think it goes back to what got me started on this mission of Ping Pong Productions to begin with, is I love connecting people and bringing and building bridges. And one great way to do that certainly is public speaking. You know, I've been in China for 15 years. I'm one of the only foreigners working in the performing arts field for this long and with such breadth across government, you know, NGOs, independent arts groups, education, university institutions. And so I have this wealth of knowledge and experience. I want to be able to share that. And so I feel very fortunate that I've been able to get public speaking opportunities to share this expertise with people. So it's another way of bridging information. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation about China and the rest of the world. And so I hope through a lot of my talks, I can give greater insight and nuance into what's really going on here, and vice versa. I speak a lot in China about the international arts market and how things work abroad in the performing arts realm. And I hope that that also helps bring insight for Chinese audiences about how different industries work abroad and just share information and help offer insight.
Allison, can you tell us a bit about how you started Ping Pong Productions? And now I understand why, because you saw the gaps, but kind of what was the process for you, why you made the decision, how did it go at, let's say, the first year?
Sure. So let's see where to start. So I often like to describe the trajectory of my life, or the themes in my life, as the battle of and versus or. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs experience this, and a lot of creative types. You know, people, you have a lot of disparate interests and disparate passions, and everybody around you, whether it's your parents or your teachers, they're always telling you to pick one or the other. You know, go be a doctor or be an opera singer, or go, you know, do government or do academia, go do this or do that. And I think a lot of people, like myself, don't want to choose one or the other. We want and. We want to combine things and find the surprising combinations that are possible, the creative combinations. So for me, my big battle was China or the performing arts. I had studied Chinese language in university and always did dance and theater. And everyone was saying, well, what are you going to pick? Are you going to go in the performing arts direction, or are you going to go through China studies or international relations? And I sort of thought, my God, you know, how am I ever going to wed these two schizophrenic halves of my life? And I was fortunate enough to get a Fulbright fellowship outside out of university to come to China and research modern dance in China. So that allowed me to start to combine these disparate interests. And as time went on, as I worked with different arts organizations, I found, you know, similar to what I was saying, this need for bridge builders that in addition to there being great art and interesting art and an interest in things, there was really a lack of these bridge builders and the way the arts could be used as a bridge between countries. I came to China, you know, and when Beijing had just gotten the Olympic bid. And so there was this, you know, frenetic interest in the rest of the world about getting to know Beijing, and Beijing was opening up to the rest of the world, but I felt there were a lot of misconceptions.
And only two ring roads.
So after, what's that? Beijing. Yeah, only two ring roads.
And only two ring roads in exactly. Beijing. Now there are seven, totally. By the way, guys. They're building the seventh one.
Oh my gosh. Seven. Lucky seven. And so the why, as you said, the why for starting Ping Pong was really looking around and looking at this need for bridge building and a way to combine, to do the and of China and international relations and performing arts. And so in 2010, I registered the company first in the U.S. because it's much simpler to register a company in the U.S. than in China. And it was just me. It was a one-person operation. I had already been in China for 7 years. So I had, 2010, I'd already been there for 8 years. So I already had, you know, I wasn't starting from zero. I had a track record of organizations I'd worked with, of different partners and projects. And so I started Ping Pong already with a couple of projects and clients. So I didn't have, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs start with a big investment of capital and then have to go into debt and have to kind of climb their way out. I started very modestly. I took the conservative route. I did not invest a huge amount of money. I started right away with earned income from the existing clients and projects I had and built organically from there. We're now a company of 6 people, 4 full-time and 2 part-time. So it's still a tightly knit powerhouse of producers.
When I first started, 50 people is still a startup.
What's that?
I am saying in China, 50 people is still a startup.
Exactly. I know. Well, that's the thing, right? And I'd be curious to hear from you guys. Is it's a conversation I have with a lot of friends who run businesses. Is at what point do you stop being a startup and start being what's between a startup and an institution? You know, there's that middle ground kind of adolescent era where you're stable, but you're still growing. You're not a startup anymore, but you're not sort of an old monster ossified thing. So
I guess there's not really a hard and fast definition. I guess it's, I think yeah. Being a startup as long as possible is the coolest way.
There you go. I like that. I think
you want to stable yourself at some point.
Right. I love it. Well, you know, it's interesting, and this is jumping a little bit, but I originally started Ping Pong not as a nonprofit. I originally registered us in the U.S. as an LLC, a limited liability company, which is a for-profit entity, because I thought, one, I was sort of didn't want to go the nonprofit route because I know how hard that is. And two, the business model was we would do a lot of consulting to earn money and then invest that money back into the projects to create new art. And what I found over the first couple of years was, even though we were growing and, you know, we had positive cash flow year on year and we're able to grow, most of our consulting clients were governments, arts organizations, and other nonprofits. So we couldn't really charge the scale of fees needed to grow at the rate that I wanted to. So, and I realized that we're really mission driven, that even though you need, you know, a healthy bottom line in order to survive and grow, we really had a mission that fit a nonprofit sort of charitable for the good of society model or profile. And so we converted from an LLC to a 501c3 nonprofit in the US 2 years ago, and now are building our board of trustees and our group of donor, our family of donors, and have had great success applying for foundations and government grants that you're only eligible for if you're a nonprofit in the US.
Do you remember who your first client was and how you got it?
Our very first, well, you know, it's interesting. Our first I would say this counts as our first client. Our first project back in 2010 was a co-production with Beijing Dance LDTX and Expressions Dance Company from Brisbane, Australia. They were doing a new production, a new collaboration between the Chinese and the Australian Dance Company. Their international director for the Beijing Dance LDTX had moved on from that position, and they needed someone to take over that project when she left. So she called me and said, you know, I'm moving on, but I know Ping Pong, you've just set up this company. Would you guys be able to take over this project? And it was a perfect project for our first one because it was an international collaboration, and it was premiering in China and then was going to tour Australia. And so that was probably the very first project in 2010 that we worked on officially as Ping Pong Productions.
Okay. Very interesting. And kind of leads into the next question is, you know, working with Chinese, I don't know if the right word is authorities or Chinese, you know, in China, there must be certain regulations on, you know, kind of culture and events. What kind of organizations do you interface with, or do you at all, or what's your, you know, wait, let me share with us a little bit here.
Sure. So we work quite a bit with the Ministry of Culture of China, of the national ministry, the Wenhua Bu, as well as local ministries like the Beijing Shi Wenhua Ju, the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Culture, and the Guangzhou Wenguangju, the Guangzhou Municipal Bureau of Culture. We work with them in different capacities, but mainly the way that we've worked most with the Beijing Ministry, or excuse me, the Ministry of Culture, is they've supported a lot of our Chinese artists to go abroad. There's this wonderful, you know, I mentioned the Zhou Chu Qu policy, the going out policy. And one of our longest clients with Ping Pong Productions and our longest partners is an independent dance group called Tao Dance Theater, Tao Shen Ti Ju Chang. And it started as just two dancers, a dancer and a choreographer in Beijing. They've now grown to more than 10 dancers. Ping Pong Productions has toured them to more than 50 countries on 5 continents. We've gotten commissions from world festivals for all of their new works in their repertory. They now have 8 works in their repertory, and 7 of those we secured the commissioning for them. And it's funny, there's a phenomenon in China that you hear called 墙外开, 墙内香. The flower that blooms outside of the wall is fragrant inside of the wall. So when it started, you know, no one had ever heard of Tao Dance Theater. No one knew what it was, but he's a genius, talented artist. And so when Ping Pong started touring them to Lincoln Center Festival in New York, Sydney Opera House, you know, the world's leading stages and festivals were going gaga over this unbelievable artist. Suddenly, the Chinese Ministry of Culture stood up and took notice and said, oh, yes, of course he's our beloved Chinese artist. And they started supporting his really beautiful and special work to go abroad. The ministry has regulations where usually it's the Foreign Affairs Department. They're able to support international airfare for the artist to go abroad. Unfortunately, they're not able to then also support the artists to survive in China, but there are other avenues for that. So that's one of the main ways that we've worked with the government is through the ministry supporting Tao Dance Theater and a number of our other artists to tour internationally. We're working with the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Culture this year to bring a Chinese theater director and his company to Jerusalem for the Israel Festival in June. The director's name is Wang Chong, and he's got a contemporary production of Thunderstorm. It's called Thunderstorm 2.0, and he's bringing it to Israel Festival in Jerusalem, and the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Culture is supporting the airfare and freight and some other costs. So we've had very, very positive collaborations on that side, you know, helping. They now sort of recognize that Ping Pong Productions is really, we have our radar out for the next generation of more contemporary, forward-thinking, innovative artists. And we have the avenues to get them out to the best world stages. So they're really, and we can't do it without the airfare support. So it's really wonderful to have those partnerships with the ministry.
Allison, isn't that you need to maneuver between all kinds of approvals and, you know, bureaucracy and whatever they need, you need approval of what can go out, what can go in, and all this stuff. So let's say somebody again wants to do something in the production field, and then, like, can you give a milestone of where this should go, what they need to do, it kind of setting things up and not forgetting things on the way?
Sure. So, bringing things in, when you bring international works in. Well, actually, in China, to be honest, in China, every performance needs a performance permit. So whether you're an international organization or a Chinese organization, if you're putting on a performance, you need to get an official performance permit from the ministry. Now, there are very clear guidelines for the procedures of applying for those and who can apply. You have to go through a designated unit in order to apply. It's not just like any person can go apply for a performance permit. You have to have certain accreditations, and only Chinese entities are allowed to have those accreditations. So we always partner with some kind of organization. You know, we partner a lot with, say, the National Theater, the National Center for the Performing Arts, the EGG, which is the big prestigious building, performing arts center in Beijing. They obviously have the accreditation to apply for that permit. So if we bring in a troupe, say in 2014, we brought Tim Robbins and the Actors Gang to tour China, and they performed in Beijing with their production of Midsummer Night's Dream. And so when we booked that performance at the National Center, first, you know, step one is to get a performance confirmed. So, you know, the National Center said, oh, yes, we want to present it. We'll do 6 shows. We negotiated the fees, the terms of the contract. And then what you have to do is we had to submit both an English and a Chinese script of the play that was being performed, a full-length video, a company bio and bios of all the people who are going to be on stage, all of the documentations that prove that the Actors Gang was a legally registered entity back in the U.S., I'm trying to think what else. And then there are a couple other forms. So all of that gets submitted to the National Center. Then they have to fill out other forms and submit all of that through a whole series of processes to get the permit for their performances in Beijing. And then we
How
have
long
to go through
take this whole thing.
You know, it's interesting. For the National Center, it's a little bit faster just because they're a national center and they're directly under the ministry. If we were in another city or a provincial level venue or going through an independent organization, because there are some independent organizations that are able to file, it can take, they tell you it should take up to 6 months. Now, I have not ever had it take that long. Usually we've seen it happen, I would say, honestly, at least 3 months. I've seen it. We've had it take, you know, as much as 3 months and change. And that gets dicey because you're technically not allowed to advertise and sell tickets until you have the permit. So it's really a bit of a sort of, you know, a race against the clock to get everything approved in time so that you can advertise and sell tickets and have a full house.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
What's that?
很着急.
很着急, 没错. Yeah. And there's really, you know, and there's really no way to fast track it. You just have to wait.
Wow. Yeah, it's just it seems normal for those researching business in China. Just patience, I think, is the biggest.
patience and persistence.
Exactly. There you go. All right, Allison, this was a great, overview, and we thank you for sharing so much. How can people find you online and learn more about your business and maybe reach out, social, emails, or websites?
Absolutely. Well, our website is www.pingpongarts.org. That's ping pong, like the sport, and arts, like the performing arts with an S on the end, .org. We're also on Facebook, and Facebook is where you've got sort of our more up-to-date things. We're able to post a lot of the articles that come out or the latest performances by our different artists or any other news things. So on Facebook, it's, you know, facebook.com/productions.pingpong. Now, there is a Ping Pong Productions based out of Los Angeles that does film and TV, so don't mix us up.
Oh, got it.
Look, if it's pretty obvious that we're the one having to do with China, so it'll be easy to find us.
Okay, and we promise we're not going to interview them as well.
It's fine. We do enough different things that I'm happy to collaborate.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Allison, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for your time and sharing all that, as Mike said.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on and letting me share what Ping Pong Productions does with your amazing audience.
Awesome.
Cool.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry. China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.